So I could maybe get the spa paid for if it's press. I'm not just trying to get a free spa.
If you're trying to get a free spa,
I've already paid for myself, but if we could, that'd be fun. I'm up for that.
Oh, I'm up for that.
Daddy likes the spa as well. Daddy, Steve.
Oh my God, imagine that. Fucking do it.
Danny likes a spa.
Danny likes a spa, man.
Wasn't expecting to hear that sentence today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin! You are listening to the 2023 special of our podcast featuring myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend, Morgan Richards.
Yes, it's me, a very sunburned, fading into tanned Morgan Richards. And one thing I learned over this weekend is your trees don't fall. They create pollen around me.
Thank you very much for listening to this week's episode. check back next week. Check back Friday where we might do another one. I don't know if we will because that was fucking bad. And by bad, I mean real fucking bad. Yes, we went to 2000 Trees. Yes, we were lucky enough to speak to some fantastic artists and some of our favourite artists who were there this weekend, and we had a great fucking time at the event.
Yeah, whenever we arrive at 2000 Trees Festival, it feels like the ultimate wholesome mates fest, easing out a festival season for us. What a jam-packed week we had. We talked and recorded some brilliant podcasts that we'll get into in just a little bit, but just seeing some old faces was absolutely phenomenal. We got to do a DJ set to the Silent Disco. We recorded a live podcast in front of a crowded tent, which was incredible. And we just got to live the best festival life. And one of those highlights, we'll go over a few of them, but was getting to just have a laugh with the boys of No Devotion before they went on stage.
Oh, that was absolutely fucking lovely. Do you know what? Because they hadn't really posted since 2000 Trees announced them, and we hadn't heard of them or any of this. Literally, we hadn't heard of any of them for a while. I wasn't sure if they were going to make it with everything that's gone on with them in the past, and them being the most cursed band on earth. I was mid-chat and I looked up and I saw Stuart Richardson, Jeff Rickley and Morgan Richards. That's you. looking at me, and I couldn't help but leave the I don't even know who I was talking to. I just walked away from the conversation. And I was like, oh my God. I just wandered off and fucking hugged Stu and Jeff. And then saw Lee after and Lee's family. And yeah, it was absolutely beautiful just to get a chat to them. But then to see them finally play and smash it, because they were fucking great as well, made me very, very happy, to the point where I saw Lee Gay's smile on stage at Stu. And I thought to myself, how many Lost Prophet shows have I seen? Probably thousands. I don't know if I've ever seen Lee Gay smile before. So to see him smiling on stage at 2000 Trees made me well up. Yeah, that's right. I was leaking water from my eyes just at the happiness that those boys are finally fucking playing a gig. And then obviously the last song is very, very sad as well. And Jeff had a cry. So all round, big cry at 2000 Trees, 2000 Cries. but yeah, it was fucking fantastic to see them playing. They absolutely smashed it. It was good to have a chat with Philip Jenkins as well, who was playing drums for them. chuff for him. He's fucking smashing it. Kids in Glass House is smashing it. Slam Dunk. Lovely, lovely to see friends doing well.
Yeah, very just like wholesome moment for us and really sentimental in so many ways. And throughout the weekend, we had moments like that. You know, we arrived and one of the first people we saw was Benji Webb from Skindred. And it's a little behind the scenes, right? Benji loves to just absolutely take the piss of us and just fake have a go with us and whatnot. It's a good laugh. But while we were just talking, we had a face appear from nowhere. And both you and me had to double take because somehow, unexpectedly, was the mega incredible producer, Machine, and former guest of the podcast, was
also
there.
Also Sapling Podcast Patreon member, but carry on. Yeah, he was there.
We couldn't believe it.
No, we were fucking mid-chat to Benji Webb, who was going full fucking Newport, an hour and a half at the time. And then all of a sudden, it was his head, and I looked at it, and I went, well, looks like Machine, the producer, but he lives in Austin, Texas. And last time I checked, Cheltenham is a couple of hours drive from Austin. And then he was like, hey guys! And I was like, fucking hell, that is Machine! And then we ended up talking to Machine. We introduced Benji and Machine together, who I think would make a fucking brilliant record. And then when I told Benji that Machine had produced Head PE, he remembered a remix the Machine did of a song and constantly praised Machine every time he saw him, man. So I hope to God that works out. That reminds me, write it down, Sean. I need to send Benji and Machine's emails to each other.
Bringing people together on this podcast. But I mean, the festival itself, you know, not only is this one where we get to reminisce with people, but just see so many bands have platforms that I feel they really deserve. And there's a few sets throughout the weekend that I just got really emotional about, and one of them being Dream State. So we bumped into Jessie just before their set, and she was saying how nervous and stuff she was because of the band's history with the festival and always doing well here, and you know, the new lineup not being around for a while, not sure how it's going to be. And fast forward to their performance, the tent was absolutely packed that you couldn't get into it. The sides were full, and just seeing them thrive on stage was absolutely incredible. I want to send so much love to them. They absolutely deserve it. Their new tracks are killing it. It's amazing to see. You had people like As Everything Unfolds have really shown how far they've come with another jam-packed performance. Getting to see Empire State Bastard featuring Simon Neil of Biffy Clyro just screaming in booty shorts was interesting as well. And I had a really nice sing-along to The Wonder Years that I appreciated. But one of the highlights was also Stephen Patel from Lost Alone was probably the most perfect on-stage fan interaction moment.
All of Lost Alone on stage was fantastic. I really, really enjoyed it. How I have never thought to stop a song to pose for photos so they don't get my double chin in, I don't know. But Stephen did that. Stephen stopped a mid-song, made the photographers in the front row take a candid posed photo, and then straight back into the song as well, proving that they don't play to track, which is genius and one of the very few nowadays. Other shout-outs to people who were there this weekend. Hayley Connolly, of course, from Good As Gold Group. She looks after us and she is absolutely amazing. She's somebody I love very, very much. Will love forever, no matter what. She could probably kill my family and I still love her. Don't do that, though, Ale. Also, a shout-out to our friend Emma Van Dytes. She sorted out some of the brilliant chats for us this weekend. She is a superhero and not a villain. And also, I'd like to give a shout-out to Steph Carter, the former guitarist of Gallows, who I had a massive long conversation with about the old days. My life's work is now to get Gallows back together. I've managed it with a blackout. Gallows is the next one. So let's make that fucking happen. Yes. Also, I should mention, the Blackout announced this Monday that we are going on tour in February. Please check out at the Blackout Music on Instagram, at the Blackout on Twitter for those details. Wednesday, O2 presale. If you own an O2 phone, why would you do that? You can get tickets early on Wednesday. General tickets go on sale this Friday, 10 a.m. at gigsandtours.com. please, please come along. These venues are fucking massive. It wasn't our idea, and we are terrified.
Hey, it'll be a lovely, lovely time. But throughout this episode, reminiscing more about a fantastic week at 2000 Trees and some backstage conversations with the likes of headliners Matt Tuck of Bullet for My Valentine. Woo! We're going to get into all of the onstage shittery and writing with McFly of Stephen Battelle of Lost Alone. Charlie Rolfe of As Everything Unfolds tell us some dream moments about their second album. We talk to a band who are absolutely everywhere at the moment in Witch Fever and get some insight between Alex and Amy and the return on this podcast to the biggest liar, Colin Duran of 100 Reasons, and he's also joined by Andy Gilmore as well. So a big collection of everything, a lot of different aspects of the festival, of the lineup, and you're just going to have a great time if you were there or not and just kind of feel the vibe of 2000 Trees Festival. But before we go into it, just a quick reminder, if you enjoy this podcast, what we do, and you want us to do more of these kind of things, please head over to patreon.com/sapnin. Join the wonderful community of people there. It literally helps us continue this podcast each and every week. And some of the rewards you get from subscribing includes just being a part of that community. And they are the best people in the world. They're going to gigs together. They're all sorting which one of the blackout dates they're going to as well. So if you need friends... One.
They better do more than fucking one.
Ones. Oh, which blackout dates they're going to. So if you need someone to go with, that's patreon.com/sapnin. But without any further ado, let's get straight into it, Sean. This is what we got up to backstage at 2000 Trees Festival 2023.
I love how you say, let's get straight into it, but we have been talking solidly for 11 and a half minutes.
Yeah.
Sapnin!
Yeah. Sapnin!
Teddy.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Sapnin!
Yes!
Joining us at the moment is the fantastic Stephen Battelle of Lost Alone here at 2000 Trees. Stephen, how are you?
I'm really good, dude. I'm nervous about playing, but I'm happy to be here with you two because I like you both a lot.
Thank you very much. We like you.
And I like your podcast. I actually do listen as well.
Thanks.
Aww. So that your podcast and... The West Wing Weekly, which is about the TV show The West Wing.
Oh, okay.
And Rockonteurs, which is a great podcast. They're my three podcasts. Oh, and News Agents, because I like politics. So it's a good mix. But yeah, I love your podcast.
Is The West Wing still going, or is it just a podcast about an old show?
So The West Wing Weekly, I think, started this trend of Because the New Girl in the American Office are doing it.
Yeah.
Started the trend of, it's a cast member, and it's a guy who does Song Exploder, who is a massive fan of the West Wing. So a cast member and him watched, and even the podcast has ended now, they watched every episode of the West Wing. But because one of them was in it, they literally get like all the cast on it. It is like an in-depth. Obama was on it. Barack what? Obama. I mean, they're like, the West Wing is genuinely inspired Obama to do politics. So it's, anyway, I love the West Wing. I went to see the podcast live. I mean, I really love it. What? I got a signed poster.
Wait, what? In the UK?
Yeah, they came
UK?
Over to the UK. They sold out Royal Albert Hall or something.
Fucking
the
hell.
West Wing is like, the West Wing and The Wire and Sopranos are considered the greatest TV shows ever made.
Which is wrong, but it's fair enough.
The West Wing is the best. If you like dialogue and words, it's Aaron Sorkin, who very famously wrote A Few Good Men. You want the truth? You want the truth? You can't handle the truth. He's the guy who wrote that. So wow. He's one of the... He's one of the best.
Oh, I like it.
And also,
love the West
also
Wing.
Guys, important to know, he ghostwrote all Obama's speeches.
Did he?
He's like the man. Wow. He's literally the
Aaron Sorkin, did
yeah.
he?
Yeah.
Well, we all the knowledge.
Listen, when you talk to me, you get the facts about the things you didn't need to know. We've covered the stuff.
But you said you were nervous about today, man.
Massively, I mean, yeah.
Why? Why is that?
Because I just don't... I can't visualize anybody out there walking to go, hey, should we go see Lost Alone?
There's people... Yeah. There's
I just can't visualize it.
I know there's people who have come literally just to see you.
Yeah, today. I know two.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but there's people. Hey, there's two more than you think there's going to
yeah,
be.
Yeah. I mean, if we were playing in this little room here, that'd be awesome. But I think I always, apart from when you're like, apart from when you're supporting a band that you know you're on and the room's rammed, yeah. It doesn't matter if it's a headline show for us and we've sold it out. All my band and crew know that I'm going to be the guy in the dressing room going, can you tell me if there's anyone here? Can you tell me if there's anyone here? Is there anyone here yet? Is there anyone suddenly in the front? I cannot visualize why anybody would make a choice today to go, hey, should we go see Lost Alone?
Riffs, songs,
yeah,
good
but
times.
Do they, I don't know if they know that they exist.
No, I think they do. The thing is with this festival is, I guess it's a curse and a blessing in a way. It's like when Raiders did it last year, 5 minutes before we went on, there was nobody in our tent. And we were like, oh, yeah, this is expected. Nobody gives a fuck. And then we went on, and by the second song, the tent was rammed.
It's about not... It's not doing the Royal Blood, as we now call it. First song. And like...
Please, rock and roll. We are the first rock and roll band this weekend.
Guys, formulating a little thing now.
Let's start.
I'm going to walk off a song with stick my fingers up. This is rock and roll.
Let's start some sort of war between Eagles of Death Metal and Lost Alone for who's the most rock and roll band this weekend.
Mate, there's no competition there. I'm going to do an Aerosmith. We were considering today playing our normal last song first. And first song last. But then I remembered that Aerosmith did that in the 70s and Steven Tyler got in the limo. He came on, thought it was the last song. He was so drugged
up. One song?
Just walked
after
into the limo.
One song?
Because he thought it was the last song. Because it was normally their first last song.
Yeah, but how many drugs have you got to
take? His mic stand famous, that's scarf. Just full of all his drugs.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, that's why I had him.
We know where he keeps them now.
Dip in the bag, like?
Yeah. So we've had to decide to definitely play our... allegedly. Although I got to ask him that question via Kerrang, and because I read it in his book where he said that happened, and then in Kerrang, when he replied to me, it's one of the things you pointed where ask a massive band a thing. They said they didn't remember it. And I was like, yeah, of course you didn't. But you didn't remember that you hadn't played any songs yet. Like, I mean,
yeah, you can't, surely, like after 3.5 minutes, you're like, I've been on here for an hour and a half, good night.
But he was literally pulled back on stage by his crew going, you've got a whole set to do. Yeah.
You've only done one.
I love that so much. I love it.
He must have been fucked up.
That's a great level. But yeah. Anyway, yeah, so let's not talk anymore about the gig because I'm getting nervous.
Okay, but just in general, I mean, this last year has been quite extreme for you guys. You know, being a band again, touring, playing shows. You're always writing with other artists and stuff as well. And like, you just put out a new song recently. Like, what has it been like for you kind of just looking back at that year in particular compared to the announcement of doing this again and having a new album and starting it back up?
I think like genuinely there was such excitement when we planned this. When we did the Mike M thing, we knew for 2 years we were doing it, and there was strategic chats about, hey, let's announce a single, then announce you're doing an album, then announce you're Mike M. And I was like, nah, let's just do it all on one day and like have everyone go. I mean, we did it on one day, like a minute after. We're like, hi guys, we're back. Oh, by the way, we're doing stadiums. Oh yeah, we've got a new single. Oh, we're doing an album. And everyone's like, ah. Oh. And I was like, that's the way to do it. Because everyone went, what? And it was cool. And then there was a bit of like, we had nothing else to say for ages. But then we did the shows, we were awesome. Then we did the album, then we did a tour. You know, I've been busy in the studio around with other people. It's so, what's cool for me today actually is there's like two other people playing here that I've wrote songs for.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. And I've never had that experience. Like,
oh, wow.
Who's here?
No, it's three. There's three. Cody Frost.
Nice.
Bex, yeah. Who I just wrote a song with last week, it was awesome. And Lozique. And such a, from that side of my life, I don't know if they're playing the songs I wrote.
you see all three of them doing it, and they're like, oh yeah.
No, we didn't like that one.
Hey guys, this is going to be the worst song of our set. And,
but yeah, the Cody one's like a real ballad, so I don't think she probably played it. She played tomorrow. And Bex I only wrote with 4 days ago, so pretty sure it's an awesome song.
We gotta get ready for the gig on the weekend.
Yeah, maybe it came together. Anyway, it was a real fun. That feels like achievement for me because I've never, same as like when I went to the McFly release shows. That's the first time in my life I've had songs cut by other people that you can play on Spotify and go, oh, I worked on that. But like to go to a gig and like I'm the number one and making bad decisions. I was like, I went to Doug, hey, I'm the one making bad decisions. And like, then I'm hearing a crowd sing it. I've had that for my own band, but it's awesome like to be in a room and see, I've not experienced that yet. So it's a new, beautiful thing to see songs I've co-written. I don't take anything away from the band. They're incredible. But it was awesome to see those songs live. I was over the moon and then they dragged me on stage, which was so embarrassing. Yeah, like I love being on stage, but not when it's not in the context of
right,
like with a guitar.
And you're
I'm
not
like,
in charge as well.
Yeah, like, and I literally put my sunglasses on as I walked on to try and keep it a myth that I wear sunglasses all the time. anytime I have a photo in the studio,
I've never seen your eyes. No,
yeah, I've got very striking blue eyes.
Ooh,
as well.
That's where you hide them.
It's going to be a big reveal.
It's a crime.
Like I just got one eye in the middle,
but it's striking.
But it's very striking.
Very striking. But no, but I wanted to talk to you about the whole McFly thing because you know we've your name has been brought up on this podcast a lot, mate, in the last couple of months.
Last couple of months we've had everyone bar Tom on.
What's funny is that because my mum really likes to, she'll be listening to this, she will, if I'm on anything she'll listen.
Yeah,
and I get a message going, oh, she's how bad now. No, but I always get like I'll know that I'm on because she's, so then I'll like check it out. But yeah, it's been dead. I think what's dead nice about the McFly thing specifically is I don't really know the etiquette, but I, to start with them, wasn't shouting about, hey, I've co-wrote on songs, because I wasn't sure if songwriting is supposed to be like a, don't mention it. But they've been like, you know, Tom to like 2 million people, like on his Instagram, Steve's the guy who wrote all these songs with us. Like they're very, because they're so confident in their own abilities, because they are awesome songwriters. So it's just been dead nice, actually.
It's been awesome,
And I feel a lot of love from their fan base as well. Which is dead nice, and I think it's translated into some of their fans getting into Lost Alone stuff, so it's kind of cool.
But as well, because you're doing that massive tour with them now in September, and I mean, have you seen a lot of people, Lost Alone fans, coming on and be like, oh wow, like I'm really glad that you know, there's that kind of connection, you're having that spotlight, as well as McFly fans checking you out and appreciating the work you've done with the boys?
I think, to be honest, it's been more the new McFly fans. Really nice. You know, when people discover you're in your band for a long time, and then you actually, it's weird when people who have just never heard of you suddenly become dead enthusiastic and you recognize a new, what I'd call like an extreme fan. And it's dead fun because sometimes the stage you are in a career, that does it, you feel like you've got your fan base. And so there's been quite an influx since the Mike M shows was a whole new Mike M audience, you know. So like we got a lot of new fans from that, and then me just being in the studio and with McFly has made people like, you know, oh, we'll follow him, and then they've gone, oh, he's also an awesome band. So that's been cool. And I think the main Lost Alone fans are just over the moon that we actually are a band again. And there definitely loads, like I think, like, because I'm not somebody like you, Morgan, who McFly were not a gatekeeper band for me.
Right,
they weren't a band. I hated them. Like, and they know I'm like, who is this boy band? Like, I didn't, and I told the guys that the day I met them. That's probably why they didn't why they kept me around for 2 years. But no, like, but I just to be clear, I genuinely now I'm so ignorant to how A, incredible musicians they are, B, how much they do it because they love music. We get, you know, just the disclaimer there, I love them and I respect them. And I also now love their early albums because I get the context.
I think everybody in the rock scene kind of felt like that though, because we were told, like, we were like, use this fucking pop band that's pushed on the door. And we were like, oh, yeah. I bet they didn't even play their instruments. I know they're more live than Britain's biggest metal band.
Yeah, and well. no comment from me on that. But I feel like they passed me by, like, because I was just into Queen. I mean, literally, that's it. And musicals. Like, it's very... I think so. What I've realized is a lot of Lost Alone fans, the younger ones, like maybe, well, a little bit younger than me, I was surprised at the reaction. I actually thought we might get a bit of a. I thought people might be like, oh, how come you're touring with McFly? Because that was my perception years ago. Right. But in actual fact, people going, no way. That's my two favorite bands. And I never put that together. So what I really like is that Lost Alone can play within a year stadiums with My Chemical Romance and the tour with McFly.
That's fucking incredible.
I honestly feel that both audiences are going to... I feel like I can work with both audiences.
Yeah, 100%.
And today we're kind of on the metal day, I guess, like Bullet for My Valentine, and I'm going to... If there's anybody there, they are going to get... They're going to have it.
Yeah.
That's my only fear. If there's an audience, people are about to get, you know... They're about to get it.
I can't wait, but you're getting me pumped now. that's the thing with this festival. Like, a lot of this mad walkthrough traffic as well. So, like, you have nothing to wait. It's going to be fucking brilliant.
It's
going to
be good,
man. Can I say, I love the way you really, where you talk on the mic looks like you're on stage, because you go, like, it's like you're doing, like, thank you, good night. Nobody else can see that.
Yeah, Sean's lying on the floor. I know all the diaphragms in these cheap microphones work.
Yeah, you know.
It has to be pointed exactly at my mouth.
You've got the technique perfect on that.
Before you go, man, if you could just tell people about this new song. I've heard that you've written it as a prequel to another song. Tell us about that really quickly what's going on there.
So there's a song called let me get this right, because I keep getting the wrong titles, because there's a song called The Last Drop of Forever that I wrote where that submarine imploded, actually, on the Atlantic Ocean when I won a cruise to New York. And that's when I actually dreamt up Lost Alone again. I think we talked about it. That song is so important to me because it's why the band came back together. And then I thought, when I came to write a new song earlier this year, which is called The Final Call for Forever, I thought George Lucas wrote like the prequels to Star Wars 30 years after them, with all the baggage of fan theory and just life. And I thought, wouldn't it be cool to write a prequel to a song? Because I don't know if anyone's done that. Maybe they have. I'm claiming I invented this, but I thought I'm gonna write a prequel to my own song, and I'm gonna get myself back in that headspace of on that cruise ship and get myself in the mindset, because that song felt important and connected with the fans. And that's the story. I just did that, and it's not like it's a narrative or like it sounds the same, but it should come before, like The Hobbit should come before Lord of the Rings.
Right, okay, yeah.
Also, if anyone out there on Sapning could also check this for me, another thing I claim I've done, I've got a song on my solo album called My Own Name, Stephen Battelle. And I don't think I don't think even rap artists have done like a song where they've done stuff like, you know, Dr. Dre or something. Has anybody been such a legend that they've gone, just call it, so go on Spotify, it's just Stephen Battelle by Stephen Battelle. So if anyone could like clarify from your guy, because I keep claiming that, but I want to know if I'm just lying.
Oh, yeah, I'll have a look at people's names.
Sapling Pod,
please do, and you can pass that on to me.
Yes,
imagine if Jay-Z came out with a song called Stephen Battelle.
Now that would be cool. It's a cover of mine.
Yeah. No, he just sampled bits of yours.
This is a new song from Jay-Z.
Do that. Please do that.
Well, mate, it's always a pleasure getting to catch up with you. We absolutely love your energy and all this music. Can't wait for this McFly tour, and see you there.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it. Awesome, dudes. Why am I still saying awesome to you with the mic?
You're listening to Sapning Podcast! Sapning!
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 Yes! We are joined by the fantastic Charlie of As Everything Unfolds. How are you?
I'm great. Apart from sweating my ass off, it's fucking great. It's cool.
Yeah, it is a warm one, but I want to start by I've just seen setting up. You got to meet a parrot backstage. That's how wild it is here at 2000 Trees.
Yeah,
you've met a parrot.
Yeah, it's really weird because Ben, the guy, we actually know him, but I didn't know he had a parrot. So I was like, there's a parrot and there's Ben. And why do you have a parrot? He's, oh, I have a parrot now. I was like, oh. And he just brings it everywhere with him. So, yeah. And I held the parrot and I was terrified. And then I gave the parrot back.
Fair enough. If I had a parrot, it would be my personality. Like everything.
Oh,
would,
yeah.
You would know why.
He's making a lot of friends today. You can tell.
Imagine. I was wondering if the parrot was famous or anything. Like, has it got its own TikTok or something?
I mean, it might as well. I mean, yeah, it might be a good idea. I might let him know. So you'll have to let Morgan know, though, so he can take a percentage.
Yeah, there
if I see a queue of people queue up to meet a parrot because it's TikTok famous, I will murder everybody in that line. Madness, like.
But Charlie, how are you? How was festival season treating you? How was it being these last few weeks, getting ready to go back on the road and everything like that?
We did a Resurrection Festival last week, which was 36 hours from leaving the UK to coming back to the UK.
Fuck.
We literally left John's house at 1 o'clock in the morning. We didn't sleep, basically. And then got to the festival, didn't have time to like sleep or anything, went straight to the fest, played, hung around for like an hour, and then we were like, can't fucking do this anymore. And then we were up at 4 a.m. the next day to come home.
Ugh.
So yeah, but the show was amazing, like first time in Spain, so it was really, really cool. But yeah, and then obviously Trees is like our first, like, well, our only UK festival this year, so it's really exciting. It's cool.
It's your first time ever at Trees, am I right?
It is, yeah. Yeah,
is it?
Yeah, we've only ever done Download.
Like, oh, wow.
So this is the only other like UK festival we've done. So
that's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I definitely would have thought like you would have been previously seen on 2000 Trees.
Oh no, first time. So, but it's exciting.
Yeah, it's always a great vibe here with it all. But a lot has happened since the last time you were on the podcast. I mean, a whole new album, Ultraviolet. But it seems that not only has the band grown, but you as people and just everything in between of that, like kind of thinking over this last album campaign and cycle or whatever you want to call it, is it crazy to see how far things have evolved in that time and just come leaps and bounds?
Yeah, it's weird because, like, you know, it's more so like the tours and stuff that we're getting. Like, we got Electric Call Boy in October and stuff, and we're sort of like, what? Oh, what the fuck's happening? You know, we had a Chikara at the beginning of the year, and we're like, nah, it's not real, it's not happening. And that's the kind of stuff that for me is surreal. Like, you know, I try actually not to look at numbers as much now. I think, you know, the first time round it's really exciting, and then the second time it's actually scary.
Very much so.
So you're kind of like, oh, because now we have to do better than the first one. So it's I check in every now and again, and I like to see what's going on, but generally I try and sort of detach myself from it a little bit. But it's been amazing. People seem to be really responding to it. And we got a headline tour in September. So yeah, very exciting.
Yeah.
Class.
Yeah. But when you do those shows of Shikari and Callboy, I mean, must be a part of you. Like, those two bands are such great showmanship and kind of stage production and all that. There's a bit of you think, I've really got to like up the front person persona, like, or do you just want to go out there and just do what you normally do?
We're sort of at that point where we're like, we can't get away, we're just looking like a local band much more, you know. We have no lights, we have like,
just get one lit, just literally get a laser pen, make
some
a joke
guy
it.
Running
literally
around,
just make a joke and go, listen guys, we're a support band, we couldn't afford the big production like everybody else, for this next song we've got the one laser.
Yeah, and just run around with it.
And then just shoot it at the ceiling for the whole song.
Oh, but you know what? I wish I was that funny. That's the problem. Everybody would be like, she's been serious. That's the problem. But no, we have got to that point, but obviously it's financially, it's like a big commitment, and we're, you know, we sometimes can't even afford to have a sound engineer. So it's hard for, you know, especially the last couple of months, like with the album, and, you know, we had to outlay some stuff, and we had a lot of touring, which is really expensive. So we're sort of like, oh god, we really need to up our game, but we also need to not put ourselves in a fucking hole again. And so, but we have got a plan, and hopefully we'll have some nice exciting things, especially for our headline shows. We're kind of planning some funky stuff.
Ooh, nice. Well, I can't wait to see all that. But yeah, you're right, I don't think people realize how expensive these things can be, especially.
Well, let me explain. I'm involved in managing bands at the moment, right? And I sent off for some bus quotes the other day, right? They're going out for 2 weeks.
Ooh,
right?
Yeah.
They go out for 2 weeks. They'd like a bus for it. The cheapest, right, was £23,000, right? The most expensive was £45,000.
For 2 weeks.
What are they doing? Yeah. in the better bus that is £22,000 better than the first bus.
Yeah, I don't know.
Nothing. Not like, well, I don't.
They'll have a better sound system. That'll be it.
Yeah,
it'll have an a PlayStation 4 instead of a PlayStation 3.
Yeah.
It's the same principle with the split, isn't it?
It's got a chip PlayStation 2. Yeah, unbelievable. But yes, yeah, it's people don't see these mad expenses.
No.
Like, they see a bus and they're like, oh, you're living in luxury. They don't realise you're basically in a tiny coffin every night.
Yeah.
Sweating like fuck, bouncing about.
Yeah.
And then what I found is, from touring that way, is the first couple of nights it takes... takes a while to get used to the fucking travelling in the bunk. And then when you come off the tour... because your bed is fucking stationary back home, you're just like, I can't sleep without being slightly shook.
Rocks to sleep.
Yeah. And you get diesel engine running in the bed now.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like, because we're not at bus level yet. We're still, we're splitters, but like, and I like being honest about stuff, but we did that Impericon festival run and it cost us £10,000.
Wow.
For a week. Just for, you know, for outlay for like crew and petrol, because the problem was it was a bus routed tour and we were in a splitter van and it was like back, forth, back across the whole of Germany. And obviously getting there and back, the Channel Tunnel, it was like, it's so expensive to be in a band. And, you know, we're lucky that we've kind of got a little bit of backing behind us, but we do have to make money ourselves as well. We do not have any tour support. Us at all, so you know it's hard, but we know how important it is because it's so important to do those, you know, things like Impericon. We played in Leipzig to an arena and I was like, well, yeah, we'll pay £10,000 to play in an arena. That's fine. But you know, it's and we, you know, we met lots of bands and, you know, we made loads of like connections and things like that. It's totally worth it for that. But yeah, it is fucking expensive, so that is why ticket prices are going up and
merch
is going up in price. It's not because we want to, it's because we physically have to.
Yeah. Yeah. To survive. Like, it's, this is the crit.
Cozy lives.
Yeah.
Cozy lives.
Cozy lives. Wow.
But yeah, like, I'm involved in a documentary at the moment called The Price of Music, or that's what it's titled at the moment, Price of Music. And it's about how people just expect music for free now. Like, they're like, I just go on Spotify and I can listen to all your stuff whenever I want.
But I think YouTube is actually a big part of that as well, because for years we've just had YouTube where you can just go on and find a music video that cost £10,000 to make, but you can literally find it for free on YouTube.
It's insane. Yeah. It's insane.
And it's just, it's awkward. But like you say, people can't complain about ticket prices going up then, because it's like, well, bands need to somehow get paid back. Because we all spend our own fucking money to do this for years. Mm. It's like the Blackout being back now. It's like, I'm managing everything rather than outsourcing to someone so somebody else can fucking peel a couple of grand off the top every time we get offered a gig. And yeah, it's just, it's stressful. And I think some people listening to this are going to be like, oh, people in the band whinging about being in a band. But at the end of the day, it's our fucking jobs.
Yeah.
Like, we should be...
a job that we don't get financially compensated for that well.
So it's at all, like...
I'm so grateful. I have so many, like, so such amazing opportunities I get to do. I get to travel, I get to do these amazing things, and I wouldn't change it for the world, but I would love to have a house. I would love to have, you know, things. Like, you know, I can't even, like, if I want to buy an item of clothing, I have to, like, save up for it. Just a pair of jeans. Like, it's very, very difficult. But, again, I'm very grateful. And I am, like, lucky that I get to do this at the same time. So, it's a very weird, complex
being
in a band. So, but, you know, it is what it is. I signed up for it.
People need to know both sides of it so they can appreciate it a bit more, and they can appreciate when you are touring, when you do that, so they can go and see you. But on the other side of some of, like, exciting stuff, I mean,
let's go back to being miserable. I like that.
On the positive side,
I wanted to bring up the fact that a few months back you actually got to sing at Wembley Arena.
I did.
And I know that was a big, like, checklist moment for you.
Yeah.
How did that feel? How did that come about? What was that experience like?
It was really weird. So Trashboat, we're like quite good friends with now. We talked with them quite a few times, and I've got up and done the feature that Milky normally does quite a few times now. And me and Jamie were like, message Dan, and we were like, oh look, like we want to come to the show. I thought they'd just do their own thing, like, and he was like, yeah, like, I don't know about the guest list situation, I'll let you know. And we were just sort of like, yeah, cool, you know, whatever. And we let them kind of deal with what they dealt with. And then like the day before, like, he messaged me, he was like, oh, do you want to come do the feature? I was like, oh yeah. And he was like, oh cool, yeah, come along, we've got an extra guest list spot now. So yeah, it was cool. And you know, I Prevail are cool as well, so it was a mad experience, because like, I've seen some of my favorite bands there, and being on that stage, I was like, you know, I didn't say hello Wembley, because I was like, it's not my moment, you know what I mean? I was like, everyone's like, say it. I was like, no, it's not my moment. But it was still an amazing thing to do, and I'm very, very grateful that they like allowed me to do that. And you know, I went down for the sound check and we did it all properly, and yeah, they're nice boys, they're really good boys. And yeah,
it's a big room when sound check, isn't it, when you have
it's
a lookout.
It's so weird. Oh, I ran round it, because I was like, I need to fucking run round it. Yeah. But it's yeah, it's mad. Like, I saw.
Was there any nerves going on?
I don't know. Yeah. Arguably more than my own stuff. I feel like when you do a feature, it's worse, because you're like, if I fuck this up, I can't like go back on myself and laugh. Like, it's someone else's song, so you're like, shit. But yeah, it was fine. It was all good.
Well, would you say that's the biggest like checklist venue so far, or has there been anything else you've done which you've been like, oh my god, this is incredible?
Oh, I think that's definitely like just the Wembley, just having that in the name is kind of like, yeah, for me. I love how it's just me though, the boys didn't get it, it's just me.
Well, you are. You can brag that about him for the rest of your life.
Yeah, they love it. No, it's cool. That, and like I said, in Leipzig we played like a, I would say, similar size to Wembley like arena, and it was like packed full of people. So we've done like very similar things, and it's been amazing.
Nice. Yeah. Well, I mentioned the new album, Ultraviolet. I mean, it seems like there's been so much great reaction for that, and just seeing you all evolve as a band and taking that next step. For you, as like a songwriter and lyrically, how much difference do you think mentally went into that? Like, did you see a lot of changes in the way you approach it, or was it just the things you wanted to bring out for a while?
I think it was a more like conceptually like driven album. Like, I wasn't sad anymore. I wasn't emo anymore. No, it was, you know, it was much more kind of on a positive spin on things. So I think it was, and yeah, I think it was just more conceptually driven rather than like a diary based, like kind of like the first album is. Your first album's always your crying album, and then your second album's like, oh, actually, things aren't quite as bad as they seem. And you know, we delve more into the, you know, to the UV concept, and like, because I did my photography degree.
Don't go any further than that though. If you stop partying, oh, yeah, they disappear. I know that firsthand.
Yeah. But yeah, it's kind of like, we're still there, but just a little bit not as sad. Yeah.
Nice. Well, with all that as well, I mean, what's the plan other than these tours going forward? Like, if there's anything you have really in sight that you want to do, either like songwriting, touring, or just like other ideas for the band, you know, visually or anything like that?
Yeah, we're kind of in this like weird point at the moment where we're out of contract with our label in October.
Oh, okay.
So we are free agents. Ooh. And we have lots of options, and you know, we're writing, so we're kind of, but we're not writing for a particular purpose at the moment. We're just kind of having fun, which I think is important creatively. I think especially as you go deeper into the whole being a musician process, I think it's good to enjoy it. And you know, it'd be good to maybe like do an EP or do some singles, because that's something we haven't done while being on the label we were on and stuff like that. So yeah, it's exciting and it's cool, because there's going to be some like, you know, bigger prospects and things like that for us, but also don't really know, and also trying not to get that wound up about it. Trying not to get too fixated on anything. I'm just writing and enjoying what's happening now.
Well, yeah, that's been great to see. Like, I always, every time I see you doing something crazy, I'm always commenting about it and stuff, and yeah, it's just been amazing to see the journey. I'm hoping that it all continues. So we'll catch you
to
on
the
that
moon.
we'll catch you with Electric Callboy, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, thanks for taking the time. Can't wait for the set later, and we'll see you soon.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, guys. Sapnin
Podcast! Sapnin!
Yeah!
Yes! Here we go with the, I'm open, the Welshest chat we have this weekend now, with the mighty, mighty Matt Tuck of Bullet for Valentine. How are you?
I'm all right, boys. How are we doing?
Yeah.
Good, man. Good.
Too warm.
Yeah. It's a bit warm, isn't it?
Sweating on bits that I didn't know could sweat. I've got fucking... I got a hell of a tit sweat. It's dreadful.
Yeah, it's one of those. But man, it's so good to see you doing a festival like 2000 Trees. I think when this was announced, people were surprised just because of like the normal vibe. And you're probably, I'd say, one of the heaviest headliners ever possibly put out there.
Yeah, we thought so.
What's the vibe been like? I know you haven't been here long, but just kind of getting here and seeing the reaction for this show in particular.
Yeah, well, I've just got on site. I've never been here before. I've known of the festival for a few years, but never been here as a punter or anything. So I'm just taking it all in. Looks cool. Nice friendly vibes. Nice and compact. Sun shining. And yeah, make an impact, innit? Just play some British heavy metal for these people. See what's up, you know what I mean? So we'll see how it goes down. It'll be interesting for sure, but I think it's going to be wicked.
Oh, it's great. I guarantee it's going to be wicked.
Yeah. I always love the festivals where a bit more on the quirky side and eclectic lineups. I love those festivals, you know what I mean? So yeah, we're definitely going to come and make an impact for sure.
Yeah. Well, it must be nice as well because you've been doing this for so long. You've played so many festivals. I always feel like you've been in that metal world for a lot of it. So when you get to do a festival like this, it's maybe a little more alternative and emo.
Yeah, I love
it. Opens up a lot of doors and just like a new opportunities.
Absolutely. You know, even this far down the road, we're still looking to kind of get more people to the Bullet Party, you know what I mean? And getting out of our comfort zone and doing festivals like this, which is not really getting out of it, but it's, you know, it's a way more alternative crowd. You know, there's probably lots of people out there today that haven't seen us before, so let's go show them what the fuck is up, you know what I mean? Hopefully they'll be part of the team from now on, you know.
Nice. They will. Yeah, it's gonna be bouncing out there. Yeah, I think, like, the amount of Bullet t-shirts I've seen as well has been fucking
cool.
Awesome.
Good start.
Yeah.
But you've had quite a busy time lately. You've been in the States a lot. Just did some shows with Megadeth as well. Yep. How's just been this year and touring and just...
It's been busy, man. After obviously the 2 years of COVID and not being able to tour much this year, is not a shock to the system, but it's definitely, the machine is rolling. You know what I mean? We've did a 7-week UK European run at the start of the year. Done 5 weeks in Canada, America. We've just done an all June festival, so it's been a busy year, you know what I mean? So, but it's good, it's what we do, and you know, it's good that live music is back up and running, you know.
Finally,
it was scary for a while, but yeah, so it's good. I've been, you know, the rest of the year is pretty busy as well, not announced yet, but there's stuff to come. And yeah, just going to try and enjoy the summer really well, because before we know it, it'll be over again, you know.
Yeah,
and,
that's the thing. These things,
July, you know, mid July already.
About 2 weeks over here as well. That's the problem. We've got this 2 weeks of sunshine now, and it's going to be pissing down for 10 months.
Yeah, so good. Been a busy year, but it's been really good, successful. Everyone's vibing it. And all good.
Well, one of the things that we want to talk to you about is this recent collaboration with Pendulum. Because, I mean, one hell of a track, but as well, like, something a little bit different. And for you personally, we know bands like Pendulum is something you really like listening to outside of the band and stuff like that. So how did that come about? I'm sure it's just kind of like a really cool thing you got to do.
Yeah, just got a call from management and they said Pendulum guys have reached out. They're kind of reformed. They're doing some EPs. They want to kind of, I don't know, widen their kind of musical kind of vibe. And they loved what they've always been Bullet fans. They loved what we did on the new album. And they said, can you sing like you did on Parasite, please? And I was like, sure. And that was it. Yeah, job done. Yeah. Class. So they sent me the demo of the track. I kind of wrote my bits, went to their studio, knocked it out in like an hour. Job done. Went home.
Fucking hell. Yeah. Wow. Class.
So yeah. So no, I've been a fan of those guys for ages. Known them for about 15 years. First met them in Australia. Big Doubt Festival, I think, in 2007-08 or something like that. So good. They're good guys. Great band. Did the download thing. It was fun. Yeah, it was really, really good collaboration. You know, it was quite quick. And the way they work is very different to the way we work. So it spun my head a bit.
Yeah.
But it was good. Enjoyed it. And it's not over yet either. So I'll just say that.
Oh.
There's
more to come.
It ain't over. It ain't over. There's something happening next week, which will, you know. Makes sense.
Nice.
I
got fucking goosebumps.
Yeah.
That's class. But yeah, nice. I love Gareth. I got a lot of time for Gareth. But yeah, you said you wrote the lyric. Like, that's, yeah, I thought they would have, like, come to you with them, but no.
They had the chorus. Robert already written the lyrics and the melodies to the chorus, and there was just these big empty holes where they said, can you do some Matt stuff? And I was like, fuck yeah, absolutely. The track though, right, it did spin me out though, because it's like the way they've arranged it is not like how I would arrange a song at all. There's no real proper bridge, there's no outro. So for me, it feels unfinished. But I'm gonna take care of that. I'm taking care of that. I'm taking care
right
of
then.
That.
I can try to work this out in my head then. Pendulum, Bullet for Valentine remix. Right, yeah. Oh, I don't know. I can't wait. I can't fucking wait.
It's gonna be banging, put it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two of the best fucking coming together to make a banger. No,
it's
it was
good, man. It's good. You know, again, it's that comfort zone thing. I've always been a fan of that. You know what I mean? If I'm going to do collaborations or work with people behind the scenes, do writing, I don't want it to be a metal. It's too easy. Yeah. You know, I don't mean that in an ego way. It's just too easy. I could do that all day. So getting out of the comfort zone and just being weird is cool. I like it. I'm getting used to getting weird with stuff now.
Yeah, well, yeah, as I touched on earlier, it's nice to see that after all this time, you're able, and I think it's a testament to the band's legacy, that you're able to do these collaborations and stuff and reach out to maybe slightly different crowds now, because as much as we all love metal, it's a very compact community. And I think, you know, once you're in it for so long, it can come a little bit stale, a little bit the same, stuff like that.
You know, we've been a band over 20 years, man. You know, it's good to do something different now and again, you know, and then come back to it with a renewed hunger, you know. So that's what I'm trying to get involved with as much as possible, to kind of keep that fire burning, because that's my love, you know. That's always been my love, but it does get samey, you know.
Nice. So. Have you written with anybody else that we might?
Well, we had this conversation last time, and since then, no, that was the last person I've, because the new album's coming out, we've been touring heavily and stuff like that, and then the Pendulum's been the last thing. So, but yeah, always anyone listening want to help writing songs, I mean, man, pimping myself out.
Well, who are you really into that people might not expect? Like, there's got to be stuff on the playlist that you've just been fans of for years that is not necessarily in the metal world that people just don't know about.
Yeah, there's loads, but it'll come as no surprise. It'll be kind of big hitters like Pink, nice, like Ed Sheeran, Justin Bieber. I like everything. As long as it's got a good melody, I'm a sucker for pop, man.
Yeah.
I love pop a good music. Chorus, yeah, yeah, man, I always have. You know, that's what kind of Bullet's built its repertoire on, has been big choruses, you know what I mean? So anything that's well structured, great chorus, and it just feels good, you know? I mean, I'm into it. It doesn't have to be heavy. It can be anything, so.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, traveling so much over the years as well, and we've started asking a lot of bands this, because people just come up with the weirdest answers of just weirdest venues you've ever played. Because, you know, some people, like Frank Iero from iChem, has said, like, once he played on the back of a hot dog truck. And there's been people who've played, like, just the craziest things you wouldn't expect to be a venue, but it's turned out like that. Over the years, has anything come to your mind of just, you've rocked up somewhere and thought, what the fuck is this?
And not just the Vic in Pontypridd.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing springs to mind, you know, but we've played some mega venues that we've had the same reaction, but not because they've been bad, but like Red Rocks and stuff like that.
Oh,
we've
wow.
been lucky enough to play that Beautiful. Venue and stuff. And just, yeah, I don't know, man. There's nothing weird that comes to mind, so... But, you know, festivals, backs of huge trucks, kind of Warped Tour vibes, you know what I mean? That have you guys ever done? Did you do Warped Tour?
Oh, I did Warped Tour once. Yeah,
that's all, was always an experience, you know what I mean? So you'd be in a parking lot on the back of a truck or a back of a wagon or a trailer or whatever. So that those days were kind of a bit weird and a bit mad.
Yeah, wake up in a different car park every day and be like,
oh, you're on at 10.
Yeah.
PM? No. AM. Yeah. Like, oh, cheers, boys.
Yeah, you're on in 10 minutes.
It was a big night last night. Cheers. Yeah. Thank you.
Tidy, but
you know, that's kind of what that was, you know what I mean? But yeah, so.
Try and wake Padge up, fucking come on.
You say something there.
Well censored. Well censored.
What else can we really expect going forward this year? You said that was really, really busy.
Well, today is going to be the last show in the UK for a couple of years at least.
Couple of years,
yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, next year it's all off. Off touring. We're going to really take the time to write the best record we can again, or what we believe it to be. And it takes time, you know what I mean? We want to make sure that we had the luxury of COVID time without the COVID.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. Do you have any ideas for like producers and stuff yet? Or
Yeah. Ooh. I think we're just going to keep it in-house. So I'm going to do all the writing myself and with the boys and with Carl, who's done the last three Bullet records, Carl Bowne, who's literally standing there behind us. It just works, man. You know, it's just the dynamic we have, the relationship, the trust, the barriers are down. There's no weirdness. You know what I mean? When you bring someone new into the party, it's hard. And it's not like a hard thing as in to write songs. It's just that dynamic and the bond. You know, I'm quite in the studio. I'm quite on edge. You know, I'm not very relaxed. I'm quite on edge. I'm edgy, a bit kind of ratty. And with Carl, like he kind of accepts that and kind of pulls that out of me. Whereas I can be that with him, where I try and tone that down. If some dude just walks in the room and go, hi, I'm whoever.
Yeah.
Let's write the best Bullet album ever. I'd be like, fuck off, mate. I just hate that vibe. So, you know, we don't need someone to kind of write our shit. You know, we never have. And I think what we have just works, man. So why would we change it, you know?
Well, I think that's what a lot of fans don't see, is that, you know, sometimes you can be forced to maybe suggest it to work with a certain person. Yeah. It just doesn't click, or, you know, not everyone's way of working clicks with each other.
Exactly. Exactly. The way we do it does. So why am I going to go and fuck that up and waste 6 months of my life and a ton of money and scrap an album potentially? You know, because we've done that in the past.
Yeah, that's what people don't understand. Like, the price of just getting a new producer in and then trying something, man. And then being like, oh, this isn't working.
It's not an endless pit. You know, you have a budget, you got to stick to that. And, you know, that's what we try and do. Sometimes it doesn't work and it doesn't work. But, you know, it's... we just know how we work and how we work best, and we just kind of capitalize on that going forward. So why not, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I'd be down for doing stuff as one-off, like singles. But I think, you know, and just be pushed and pulled in different directions, because that might create something cool. But for like 6-12 months of working with someone who you don't know, has never worked with a band before, has an agenda to kind of inject something they think it should have. I'm not that guy, man. I can't handle that. We did that in the early days and it was rough. And, you know, we're just going to... We're steering the ship, you know.
Yeah. Nice, nice, yeah.
Cool,
nice. And with all that, I mean, one last question, just because it's a festival. What is your favorite festival moment so far? Whether it be playing or attending it, like as a planner back in the day. I mean, what comes to mind when you think of it's festival
tough
season
question,
again?
Man, you want to
Well, again, because we've been around 20 plus years. Yeah. We've been playing festivals since 2004, man.
Yeah, fucking hell.
So
yeah,
it's like there's a lot of festival experiences going around in my head. So to pick one is hard. And I could pick 10, but for all of the very different reasons. You know, the first time we ever played Download was an unsigned act. Doing the Download pilot headline was amazing. Main stage, Rock 'em Rings, Hellfest. The list goes on, man. I don't know, there's so many. You know,
it's good, like again, I've gone cold again thinking about all those moments for
you. Yeah, man, they're all magic in their own ways. You know, we could sit down for 3 hours and go through them and still need another 6 hours after that, you know what I mean? So, but you know, we've been very fortunate. We've worked our asses off. You know, it's been an incredible journey, and hopefully there's another 20 years left in it. We'll see how it goes.
For sure,
you know?
Man. It's always being amazing to see that the reaction and the love for you guys, and I'm really excited for the set tonight. And yeah,
thanks, man.
I'm excited for this fucking next bit of this pendulum fucking thing that's happening.
Yeah, yes. Well, we'll do a proper one when we're back home if you want.
Take
to.
Always,
I'll
drown
you with this and have a proper catch up if
Wicked.
You want.
Let's do it. Yeah. Let's do it.
I'd love
awesome.
That. Cool, man. Fantastic. Yeah. But yeah, thank you very much
thanks,
for this.
Man.
No worries.
And fucking. I was going to say smash it tonight, but you will. So
I hope so.
Ignore that.
So.
Disregard. How are you going to do it anyway? So, but yeah, no, thank
See
you.
Thank
you.
Thanks, man.
Wicked.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Sapnin!
Yes! We're backstage here at 2000 Trees and we are joined by Witch Fever.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
Pretty
sweaty.
Good. It's humid.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's warm.
When did you get in?
Well, you got here...
I've been here since Wednesday.
Oh, Wednesday as well?
Yes. Wow. Yeah. Nice and crusty.
Yeah. I got here at about 9 this morning.
Oh, nice.
It's not too bad.
Yeah. Are you camping then?
I am, yes.
Oh, how's that been?
It's all right. I told myself after download that I would never ever camp again, but here is different. It's fine. I've been on it. I managed to have a shower today as well. There's like a secret shower up top.
Is it?
Yeah. Ooh. I was like coveting. I've been asking everyone. I'm like, have you heard about this shower? Like, no, it's fine. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah.
Yep, don't tell people don't that tell now. Everyone, yeah. Everyone's going to be going crazy.
Do you know what's mad?
It?
There's going to be people listening to this who are like, I fucking love you and behind the scenes stuff. And it's bands going, I had a shower today. Like, can you believe that we actually got a shower at a festival? Yeah. And that's what bands are amazed. By.
Yeah, but, yeah, literally, man. Behind the scenes stuff. But you guys have literally just come off stage, rocking the main stage here, 2000 Trees. I mean, how was that experience for you? It was started to rain a little bit before, but still a pretty good turnout. I'm sure that was kind of awesome to see.
It stopped for us. The rain stopped for
it
us.
Did. I think considering it was like midday on the last day in the rain, we had a pretty good pull for it. Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Nice, yeah. I'm sure it's just being a whirlwind time lately, because there just seems to be one cool thing after another non-stop. I mean, have you had the chance to kind of take that all in at the moment, or is it just kind of what's next on the schedule? We need to just keep going.
I mean, we just want more cool things forever. We just want to do cool things all the time.
It's weird because people say this to us a lot. I'm like, but to us, it feels, because obviously stuff's so different on social media. Mm. To us, it's like we're still working like our jobs out like in kitchens and bars and stuff outside of this. So we're kind of like, I don't know. There's like lots of cool things, but to us, we're kind of a bit like, we just want to quit our jobs now. Just someone give us money, please.
Yeah. So next up, we've got Kendall Calling, though. And then we're doing our rural tour, which is the lottery, the Venue Trust. So
Music Venue Trust, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, we're doing like 4 days on, 3 days off, spans over like a month, but we're playing like every town in the UK ever. Nice. I haven't even heard of some
every
of the places
little town,
before.
Yeah. And then we got Hot Milk. We're supporting Hot Milk at the end of the year.
Wow.
That'll be fun.
So that'll be real. They're big shows, right? They're like...
Manchester Academy.
Yeah, and the London... is it Forum?
Forum, I think.
Jesus Christ. That'll be awesome. Yeah. I love Hot Milk as well. I love Hot Milk.
Yeah, they're very chaotic people, so I feel like...
We obviously all live in Manchester, but I only met them for the first time at Download, but we have like loads of mutual friends. I don't know how we hadn't run into each other before.
I'm surprised you haven't seen the Taz of Tasmania of Manchester, Hannah, just spinning through clubs.
I know. Weirdly, I moved to house a couple of months ago and I moved in with people that were just mutual friends, and a girl that I live with, Amber, she's best friends with Han.
Wow.
It was so random.
So such a small world. Such a small world of all that. But I think you're right in saying that for you guys it just seems like another day, really, because you know, so much work behind the scenes and your stuff that you've known for ages about, but when you're looking at it from the outside, it seems like it's just constantly crazy. What is that balance like between like the real world, the normal jobs, living day to day, and then the band? Like, is
rock
there
stars
at
night.
Is there a big structure, or is it just kind of...
I mean, we definitely want like less real world. Like, literally, after we did the Idols tour, like, Alicia had work the same day, I had work the next day, and I had to unblock a sink that was filled with sick.
Oh, whoa.
And Alex. I was like, oh man, we literally got on stage with Idols and we were like pretending to play the drums with them, and I was like, this is amazing, and like 24 hours later, I'm plunging someone's vomit.
Real life.
It's pretty brutal.
It's very humbling.
Is that the biggest humbling moment you've had? I mean,
oh god,
I feel like sometimes it's a bit awkward where people ask whether you're in a band and then you say the name and they're like just vacant. I think those are the worst moments, but
oh, it's fine.
It's worse when they go, I've never heard of you.
Yeah,
and they go, yeah, you fucking will.
Yeah.
I just told you, and everyone's gonna fucking hear about it soon enough. But have you been lucky enough to meet anybody who you idolize yet?
When we didn't meet Mike but the bassist of Placebo walked past and said nice set, and like I couldn't even stay any. I just was like already so in awe of the whole
Alex
day that
died,
I just like stared, like
I'm trying to think who for me. I feel like that.
I mean, Cancer Bats.
So we went on tour with Cancer Bats.
Class.
Was it last year? When the fuck was that?
It was like September.
Last year. And kind of like a similar thing with you. Like, they were one of my first gigs when I was a teenager. And then.
That's much better one, though. Yeah. I'd rather see Cancer Bats in the blackout.
Liam, like, messaged us one day or replied to a story. And I was like, it was actually my birthday. And I replied, like, oh my God, like, I have this picture of you and me when I was like 13. And I sent him, and he was like, it's my birthday too.
Whoa.
And then they got us for a tour, and it was, yeah, it was, yeah, just,
you did
really
like a track
sweet
with them as well, wasn't it? Like,
oh yeah, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, it was just, it was a real like full circle moment for me.
That's awesome.
For sure.
That's
yeah
lovely.
Yeah. Well, it must be crazy to see all that, and especially like the bands you started getting into back in the day, and now like, you know, you're on their radar, you're doing stuff, you're on the tour. It must be quite cool to just be like that, especially not just what's hot now, the, yeah, the ones that mean a little bit more extra to you.
It's sick as well, like this weekend, like I feel like every band I've seen, like I'm friends with, or like we know, or like hang out with, or like it's so sick seeing like your peers like all coming up through the same scene. Like I saw like Harriet on stage yesterday, and it was like so, so good, good. So sick. Like yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, that's yeah amazing.
Yeah, yeah, massive crowd as well yesterday, didn't they?
Yeah,
they were fantastic.
A lot of
yeah
love for Debbie, a lot of love for Debbie. But you mentioned that Mike M show. Talk us through that, because some of the biggest event really in the UK a couple of years back, and you know that offer must have just been crazy when it came through. How did that whole thing come about?
I was at work when it came through, because it was kind of like a last, it wasn't, we didn't have it booked in for ages, it was quite last minute, and I literally had to like lock myself in the disabled toilet and just run laps for a minute. Like I was the best bartender ever for the rest of that day. I was like, hey guys, what can I get for you? Like,
oh, the drinks are on me. And then I've been so happy for you.
I was just kind of the same. I was just like, oh my God. But also, there was like, even though we got a message and it had been confirmed, there was still a part of me that was like, don't get too excited, just in case it doesn't happen. But then obviously it did, and it was just like, that was just like playing a stadium. That's just yeah shit that like, I don't know. I didn't think that we would ever get to that point.
I felt like so zen though. I was like nervous the day before, but when we got there, I was like, yeah, like I see this one. I was like, I didn't feel like I was like, yeah, this is what I should be
this
doing.
This is what I do now.
Yeah, literally.
The first of loads of stadiums. That's cool, though. Yeah, no, that's yeah that's the best way to be. It's like, I've never really suffered with like nerves of going on stage or whatever, but like some of the boys in the blackout, it didn't matter if we were playing to like one person or 1,000, he's shitting himself all the time. But yeah, to have that is, I think it really, really helps with the show as well, not to be nervous.
Yeah, I get more nervous if it's smaller crowds. Like, I find it quite more, like, when you can see people actually looking at you, yeah, it's kind of, like, I found it today was kind of like, because it was the middle of the day, I was like just trying to not look directly at people because everyone looked kind of sleepy. Like,
there was like, I made eye contact with a guy right at the front, and he did like the biggest yawn I've ever seen in my whole life.
No.
And I was like, I know you're tired and it's not about us, but like,
come
dude
on, fella. Yeah. Please, like, I'm just trying to enjoy myself up here. You're fucking yawning in my face, you bastard.
God. Oh, yeah. Alex has had a drink delivered. Yeah. There we go.
Look at it. Fucking quit your day job. You've got someone bringing in beers.
I'm a princess, isn't yeah it?
She is. That's how she got in the shower. She just like bats her eyelids and anyone will do anything for her.
I mean, you got to work with what you got.
Yeah.
I get more Mike M to it. Yeah, wink at it.
Mike
M, wink. Send a video message to Mike. loads of winks. Get us on tour again. But yeah, you didn't get to hang out with them at all?
No, they were really strict on COVID stuff. Like, we still had to wear masks backstage and stuff. Yeah. But apparently they like, they had all vetted the music. So they're definitely listening. I think one of them follows us on Instagram now.
Frank. Era.
They are the lovely. You're bound to meet him at some point, but they are genuinely the loveliest boys.
I've heard that.
It's the fucking...
They gave us a little shout out on stage, and I remember just being like stood watching them, and they were like, oh, thanks, Rich Weaver and Lost Alone and everything, and I was just like, this is the most bizarre thing ever. What the
it's
fuck?
It's mad, isn't it? When you're someone you've looked up to for a while, like it happened to me, like in 2012, we went on tour with Limp Bizkit.
Oh, Limp Bizkit are my favourite band in the whole world.
Snap.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with them. Yeah.
So I ended up doing a song with Limp Bizkit, and there's a moment, and the video's been watched 8,000 plus times on YouTube, and I think 7,900 on me. Right? He just goes, Limp Bizkit and the Blackout.
Oh my
and
God.
I was like, 17-year-old me just done a chase. This is unbelievable. He knows who I am. Like, and he goes, Sean, take it away. And I'm like, I know my name. I was like, we've done the last 12 shows with him. Yeah. I'm like, he knows my name. I can't believe it.
I am so jealous.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so my cute 10 boys are lovely. Yeah. They're literally. How do I say this? They're just nerds who write amazing songs who have gone on to be the biggest band in the world.
Yeah.
And
it's amazing.
I remember seeing them in like 500 capacity clubs in London. and now they're fucking the biggest band in the world, and they haven't changed at all. Amazing. So
more Paramore next.
Yes,
Paramore, if you're listening, hey.
Also Good Eggs. Yeah. Also lovely people as well.
Have you met them?
Yeah, we did.
Do you play with them?
Paramore. Yeah, give it a name. 2006 or something like that. We did a Give It a Name Presents tour where four new bands went on tour together. It was The Blackout, a band called Classic Case, a band called Drive By, and a band called Paramore. And it was Revolving Headliner. But after the second date, we were like, oh, we can see you. Everybody's coming for. We should let her go on last, I think. If we want to play the crowds, let's let her go on last.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were fucking sweet darts. They literally had... her parents were out with her, I think. They were praying before every show, which was strange at the time for us. But yeah, they've
been like, I don't know what to do.
This is amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That's what you really, he goes into that hallelujah stuff, right? Sweet Dato, absolutely. Again, she's fucking lovely. But that's what it tends to be. Here's my advice going forward. It tends to be the bigger bands are the nicest people.
Yeah.
It's normally the little bands on their way up who are the shitheads.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of them about.
Oh, you gave a look there. And I was like, you are speaking my language.
We've met a lot of them.
Shade today.
I know them.
So Limp Bizkit and Paramore are the two dreams. Two dream tours there.
Yeah, I think we were trying to get on the bill for a Limp Bizkit one, but I just don't. I do understand that like our messaging is quite different to Fred Durst's lyrics, but like, fuck it.
Why not? Go for it.
He's pretty cool himself, though. So yeah, and he does love new music.
Yeah,
so
I saw them on that last tour, and they were fucking amazing, man. Like that sound is so good.
Just keep DMing him, or DM him personally, because like I've sent him. One of the last messages I sent him was a massive paragraph, and I was like, please come on my podcast. I will literally just be rimming you for an hour. I won't talk about anything you don't want to talk about. I just want to thank you because of everything I do and have now is because of Limp Bizkit. Yeah. So please come on. He fucking likes it, and he sends like lightning bolts or love hearts. I'm like, just say yes or no. Even if you send me a voice note going, fuck off, I don't want to do your stupid podcast. I can use that.
We would use it. We would use it 100%.
Every podcast. Don't have any shitty podcast. That was Fred yesterday. But with
all that, as I said, so much stuff has happened and you're still continuing to like break out and have a lot of people experience you for the first time. But is there anything you've noticed about yourselves and how much you've changed either as people or songwriters, musicians, just the way you look at the industry?
I just think it's crazy because like the band's been going for like 7 years. I've been in the band for 6 years. Released our first album, and that's like everything that you've worked towards to that point, right? And you're like, this is it. And then you release it and you're like, fuck, this is just the beginning now. Like it's like all of the work we did for all that time beforehand is kind of just like, just trying to crawl to the very beginning of being in.
Did the label then, as soon as you put the album out, did the label go, right then, we need another album?
They've not been too precious about it, but the first one we recorded the whole thing in a week and a half and mixed most of it. Like it was very, very quick. So
yeah, they've been pretty chill with it. They're like, they've been like, we have like preliminary dates now set for like recording, but they're not strict with it at all, which is really good because they totally understand that in order to get a good second album we need the time.
Well, that's great because that didn't happen to me.
That's one thing about being in like working full time is it's like it makes it so hard to actually knuckle down and write songs. Like we practice every Tuesday, but like people have other, if anyone's got anything planned on Tuesday, then we miss one. And then it's like, we practice what, like 4 or 5 hours maybe a week. And it's like, we really need to, we're going on a writing retreat for this next one.
Nice.
Yeah, we were like, we want to go stay like in the middle of nowhere.
We're into Wales,
in some nature. I mean, we want to just make a racket for a week.
We're going to get a house where like nothing else is around for miles.
Such a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah. Start a cult.
Yeah, so I come out again. That's not bad, yeah. Witch fever retreat. Let's do it. I'm in. You've already got me. Like, I was like, yeah, let's do it. Like,
that was easy.
I'm already in the cult. Let's go. Let's have a dream, people. Oh, too far.
No. But seriously, I appreciate you taking the time. It's so good to see all this happening. I'm excited for everything else to come next. So hopefully we can catch up again very soon.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us, yeah. Cheers.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
Sapnin! What's a carry?
There's always one.
He's fucked it.
Fucking Gavin and Stacey reference.
Fucked it out the starting gate.
Do you know how many English people go, oh, you sound like you don't Gavin and Stacey? And they're like, you know, Gavin, like half of that was very English.
Yeah,
it was only Gavin the one bit. Yeah.
I don't think I've seen anyone with a Welsh dragon tattoo on their arm.
No.
In every day.
I'd never, before that show. Yeah. We get on to introduce you now and talking about you guys, but for a second, I'd never heard what's occurring before that show.
Yeah,
ever in Wales.
To be fair,
well, if it, like, amusing because it's funny. The funniest thing about that is I've never watched a single episode.
Oh, nice.
So. I've maybe watched a little bit, but not like in a I must love Gavin and Stacey type way. It's mostly washed over me. In fairness. Maybe the whole thing about what's occurring was just a catchphrase.
Yeah.
I thought it'd just be awkward, just for the hell of it.
Well, you did. Yeah. Right. Well, you nailed it.
Ah, yeah.
Yes. So, our current guests are Andy and Colin the Liar of 100 Reasons.
Massive liar.
Yeah. And
I knew that was going to come up as well. Yeah, well, so when you said podcast, I was like, I knew he was going to bring that up.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I've already apologised to you.
No, you have apologised. Yeah.
So you need to explain this to me later.
Yeah.
I can explain now. Yeah, should I explain now for the podcast?
Yeah, please.
So,
please.
Sean very kindly interviewed me for my other band, They Fell From the Sky. It was very good fun, really good. I had a great time. And when he asked me about 100 Reasons doing anything, bearing in mind we were like doing
and
so much
from
stuff
the sky.
The
I said, They Fell From the Sky ever do a show? And you said
never. Yeah. You said you would never, ever play a show. And since, you have played several shows with both bands.
Yeah.
And you've put out new music. So
Something's going on. Well, the thing was that, you know, yeah, I lied.
Yeah, that's true.
That's all I can say. I had to.
It's
I had
fair
to.
Enough. Yeah. We did this, and then I saw you were download, and you were very
the first
great.
Thing I said to you is, I'm so sorry. Because I knew when I was doing it.
You did.
He was looking for a scoop.
No, but yeah. But so, yeah, how's it been being back? How's it been playing the shows?
It's been amazing. We're kind of just sort of dipping our toes because once we're done with 2000 Trees Today, there's genuinely nothing happening.
Right, it's getting longer.
Let's paste over that. Like, there's nothing planned for now for the time being. We definitely want to do more stuff.
Oh,
like,
I'm pretty sure it's what I said to Sean. I'd never say never. But I did put a little caveat in there.
Yeah.
But I still did genuinely.
He's trying to cover his ass.
We have to listen again to this episode.
No, I genuinely lied. Don't get me wrong.
You definitely said no.
That's what I said. I said never say never because I knew that something was happening.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Nice. So yeah. So there's literally nothing planned after this.
Not as far as I'm aware.
I don't know if he's aware. I can't tell. I thought I kind of knew him. And then
I'm fairly self. I'm not like Skynet aware, but I am slightly aware.
There's trust issues everywhere now. We don't know why.
Ignorance is bliss sometimes.
We started our relationship. Our relationship is literally based on a lie, Sean.
I quite like it though.
It's working.
Yeah, it's a lot more fun than some of the truthful relationships.
Well, we still had a cuddle when we saw each other, you know.
Yeah, but then you don't know in the end, so really, if he's telling the truth or lying at any time.
I
like you, Andy, very much.
Yes, you're my favorite.
Moving on. Unrelated, Andy. Top guy.
But what's it like being back at 2000 Trees in particular? I mean, this festival's got a lot of history between you guys. There's a lot of bands on this lining up that you used to tour with a lot back in the day. Is it just kind of...
Yeah, they all played yesterday.
In fact, I mean, Trees is amazing. It's probably the best festival, I think, in terms of like spirit, vibe, the people that run it. Everything about it to me is just wonderful. It's not too big. I love the fact that you can wander around and bump into so many people. Yeah. And it's not like, you know, one of those big festivals where if you lose them, you know, and you've got no phone signal, you never see them again.
Yeah, purposely kept it sort of a medium to small size. And it kind of, that just gives you so much more vibe than... And then just something where it basically takes you 40 minutes to walk to like another stage, and by the time you get there, it's like, I was going to get in a pit now, but now my feet are fucking killing me. Yeah. So.
But I just love it. I think it's probably my fourth time here. I think we did it. Was it 2012? We did it.
Did it 2012?
Then we did 2018. We did the acoustic thing.
We did. Yes, me and Colin did another acoustic.
And then maybe 2019. We did the acoustic thing again. And then I did They Fell From the Sky.
Yeah, last year.
And then I'm here today. Nice. And yeah.
For me, the vibe of this, this is my favourite UK festival. Like, I came last year. I wasn't playing, but I came along last year. And it's here in like a day and a half. And I think I only watched like three bands. I spent most of it just going, oh my God, it's you. Oh my God, it's you. Like, just hanging out with people I just don't get to see very often in such a cool...
It's kind of almost cool like the social event of the year as well, because yeah, you just get to see people. And it's just beautiful. Surroundings are beautiful. I can't say enough good things, really, in fairness. And I'm not, you know, being paid by the festival to do this.
Obviously, one of the sets I did see was Colin playing. You know, I can't... Not. I actually stuck around.
Was it any good?
He didn't say. Didn't even send me, I mean, he couldn't send me a text message, in fairness.
Yeah, there's no reception around here.
I was sitting there thinking, I was waiting for it. It was about 4 weeks I was waiting for you to text me.
You know, with the reception, by the time you get shit sandwich in this SMS, basically, it's a bit late. You know, it's too late to go. The impact's gone. So.
Yeah, it seems like you don't want to talk about it now.
Nah,
let's set about it, I think.
But with 100 Reasons coming back and playing these shows and you're writing new music as well, how is that being for you, kind of putting more material onto the legacy? Because I feel like, you know, you see so many bands now who are getting back together. It's a nostalgia is such a big thing throughout alternative music throughout the world. But, you know, when you're actually getting to the point of, oh, we actually want to put something else out, is there a bit of more nerves because it's been so long, or does it just feel like, well, we can because time has passed? I mean, how did that feel for you kind of behind the scenes? Were there any like worries or anything like that behind it?
We didn't worry because there was no expectation. So when we started writing together, it was just literally, let's get in a room, see how it goes. Larry and Andy wrote some stuff that day. I came home from, like, came to the studio after work or whatever, and we just wrote an absolute banger, which is Right There With You, which is on the record. And every session we had, Andy would write stuff remotely, Beauty would write stuff remotely, we'd send it in, we'd work on it, we did stuff in the studio. It was all just such an easy process. Yeah, it all just felt very natural.
I came down and came down to Larry's studio like whenever I could, and we were just trying to write stuff, and it was actually an incredibly productive time. We had loads of songs at the end of it, so it was nice to be in a position where you can kind of, instead of going, shit, we've got 10 songs, we need to, you know, hope that they're the best, basically, or we've got 15, 16 songs and you can whittle it down to the best 10 that go as the best coherent album. And luckily we were in that position. And yeah, it was especially after writing that first song, it kind of spurred us to go, wow, we kind of still, you know, we've still got it, so we can still do it. Do you know what I mean?
What was really positive was that when we were sort of writing the record, we knew that this tour was going to be happening. And we knew we wanted an album out in time-ish for the tour. So it almost became like a cut-off point for the writing and demoing, and then to go, right, now we have to actually record it properly. So with that sort of process, there could have been like more songs written, because we were just, every time was just amazing. And then sort of coming back and playing those shows and, you know, really enjoying them, and them going, you know, in my opinion, I thought we all played really, really well. You know, I think I'm allowed to say that. The crowds every night were absolutely amazing every night. And it was such a thing. And I think that, you know, we wouldn't have done anything if we thought the new material wasn't up to scratch. Because I've seen it a lot of times, new bands release new material and it's just not great. And you wonder, why did you bother? But because, again, there was no expectation, we weren't trying to fill any shoes. We weren't trying to make some huge comeback. Nobody knew about it. We just wanted to, you know, do something that we were comfortable doing and enjoyed doing.
Yeah, because there was no major expectations, like, and nobody knew we were doing anything new. They just thought the tour was happening. And so, yeah, it was like there was no pressure on us. And we all said to ourselves, if we're just not getting it, if nothing's happening, then just, we're quite happy to just walk, do the tour and just leave it at that. You know, it wasn't like, oh, we've got an album coming, and then you have to go, crap, we better make sure this is great. It was literally just liberating, if anything, I think, more than anything else.
But it also turned out great because it's fucking cracking.
I'm proud of it, yeah. But also, you know, we were very sort of, I suppose, mindful of the fact that we didn't want to sort of get back on the treadmill again either, because, you know, we haven't got any sort of ideas or any thoughts about like more material or anything like that either. Because we're sort of, you know, the album only came out like a couple of months ago, and normal bands are sort of still in the touring cycle anyway. But we're just like, okay, we're doing some shows, going to come play here and have a great time. But in terms of even like more material, we're not thinking that far ahead. And that wasn't the purpose of writing more material, to try and make some sort of comeback and try and have a full-time career out of this again either. It was just about we've written some great songs together. Let's go and play them together live and enjoy being around each other without any pressure, anybody sort of trying to get more out of you or anything like that. And again, like, you know, if an opportunity to play a great show comes along, you know, we're not going to say no, you know, because we're not going to sort of go, that's it. But, you know, if something happens, that's great. But just enjoying it.
Then we're not feeling inclined that we go, oh crap, we need to go on a 3-month tour or something like that, or do anything like that now. It's literally like, if something cool comes up in the future, we'll be like, totally be up for it, you know. So it's just been great to spend quality time with the guys again, if anything, more than so. And it's just been easy and fun, and everyone seems to be on the same page and in a good place. And it's just been like nothing but enjoyable, do you know what I mean? So why the hell not?
Happy
why
not?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so
that's lovely. Yeah, no, I caught you guys a download and you were fucking, it's like you'd never been away. It was genuinely felt like you'd never been away. You were all fucking killing it. You were awesome. It was wicked. Jamie did well with the lights.
He did.
Yeah,
he did.
I remember looking up going, oh, they're nice. Yeah. Hey. Oh, this is daytime, but those lights are still nice. But yeah, no, it was fantastic. I really, really, really loved it.
Thanks, man. Thank you.
Four different kinds of strobe light, and that's it.
Are you technically a UK exclusive band then, moving forward, or would you do European festivals
again,
or anything
like
that?
It's got to be worthwhile doing it, because, you know, Larry's a record producer for a living. Yeah. You're in like 900 bands. You know, Andy Muse is on tour with other people. You know, he's working with Lana Del Rey at the moment, so he's finishing tonight, and then he's going to go and drum tech for Lana Del Rey tomorrow. You know, and he does like stage management stuff for like Pearl Jam and Queen and all that kind of thing. So he goes and does, so that's his job, and, you know, and I do my teaching stuff. So everybody's got other commitments, so it has to be sort of worth the time and the effort for everybody to actually get together. Everybody being in the same place at the same time, schedule wise, is in itself a challenge. So, you know, it's got to be something that's well worth doing.
But because again, of the situation,
we wouldn't say no if it was cool and it was the right thing to do and everybody was up for it and it felt, you know, like right.
Are you only going to do your own headline shows, or is that the same way for supports as well?
Well, like, I think I was saying, you know, I don't think we've ever played like a stadium. I'd like to play a stadium.
Oh, what?
So, surprised. I would have thought,
if there's any massive stadium bands out there that want a good support slot.
Well, funny enough, AC/DC listen to this every week.
Yeah, so, they do.
Angus, sort that out then.
Well, we did support AC/DC back in the day, Angus. Do you remember, Angus? Do you remember? They were lovely, actually.
You were like having a nice little wander around when we were sound checking and everything. So.
Yeah, they're amazing.
Dressed as a schoolboy.
So yeah, so I said, I thought, do you know what? If that came up, you know, things like that, you know, that come on like your little tick list or something, you know, so yeah,
that's
we'll
cool.
See.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Is there a tick list of stuff you haven't been able to
play
do?
Play a stadium.
Apart from that one.
No, that not at the moment, not really. No. Okay. Just play a stadium. That'd be fine with me.
You know. We had a song featured on Ground Force like a few years ago. So
that was
definitely a tick.
Yeah. Wow.
to be honest, for me personally, it was like of the tour to headline Hammersmith Apollo. That was definitely a big old tick because we've done it a couple of times supporting, but it's such an ace venue to do that. That was definitely a tick. Yeah. Wow. So, to be honest, for me, anything else is a bonus. I'm with Colin. Like, I would love to. I haven't played. We've never played Wembley Arena. I'd love to play Wembley Arena.
What?
Just never came about.
That's mad.
Happened.
Yeah.
So, you know. Wow.
Well, yeah, let's hope that happens.
It's just nice to see all the enthusiasm and appreciation for things that maybe you didn't get to hone in on first time around. Because as you said, like when Steph is that busy and you've got labels and management and all that, like breathing down your throats all the time, you know, it can take some much away. But now it seems like you can really appreciate and respect those little bits
more.
And because
it's not so full on, you know, you can look forward to stuff. So, you know, when we knew the download thing was happening, that was awesome. You look forward to it. And then you've got Trees, you look forward to it. And it's not just like, right, you know, sometimes you do like 3 festivals in a weekend. You know what it's like. You're going here, there, and then you're going to do a show there, warm up, whatever. So it all gets a little bit hectic. And you can go, yeah, that's cool. But some things are kind of just dates in a diary and you find yourself like in another field somewhere. So at the moment, it's nice to have that sort of sporadic kind of dipping in, dipping out, because yeah, you do get to look forward to stuff and it becomes an event day, you know. It's great.
It's almost a little bit like, you know, when you're young and you're first one of your like first sort of bands you're playing, and You know, when you're like, we've got a gig. Yes, we've got a gig. Yes, when is it? Oh, it's in 2 months' time. You're like, and you're like,
it's our first tour. Like, we did two shows in a row.
Both of them in towns next to each other.
So, you know, it's obviously a different level, but it does kind of, that's a really good way to look at it. You know,
it's because like when you get to a certain size, there's the expectation, there's all this other rubbish that bumpkiss that goes along with it. Whilst now we're in a position where, for us, the album's out, we've got a great little label pushing us, basically. Like, they're just so on board and everything. Everyone's
in
a good vibe.
Is it Fierce Panda?
No, it's So Records.
Oh, okay. Nice.
And Shikari and Placebo and Banzo. It's a great, great bunch of guys and girls.
Yeah.
And it's just nice, you know. It's as Colin said, it's like for stuff like this, it's like, yeah, I can't wait to play that. Like, obviously I love playing Trees anyway, but it's still a very much a, oh, I can't wait to do that, you know, because it's like, and then knowing that, like, we haven't got anything really planned for this band for the rest of the year. I'm off doing other stuff, but because I'm in 9,000 bands basically. But it's just nice to just enjoy it, spend quality time with each other and stuff like that. Obviously Andy's a very busy man, but he also lives like the other side of the world, so it's just like, it's just always beautiful to spend time with him as well. And yeah, it's just it feel, you know, enjoy it. And it's like, it's always great to play the gigs and stuff like that. So
yeah, if you could fill us in on some of them 900 bands that you're doing. Yeah. Raging Speedo, and I saw you doing that not long ago in Swansea.
Is Hectares, that still? Got Hectares.
I've got my new band. I've got a new band called Hectares. And there's a band I was in an interim called Freezy Atlantic.
Yeah.
So Liv, who was the singer of Freezy Atlantic, me and him started a new band. And we had our first gig as the support at the HR show yesterday.
Wow.
It went down really, really well. I was really pleased. Yeah. Really, it was good fun. So yeah,
loved it.
Double shift, like, yeah.
Double duty. I was wrecked. Double duty.
He came off stage because he was so hot last night. It was like old school punk rock, you know. And he just came off and he was just like, oh my god. And I was like, same again then, mate.
You were like fresh longer. As a daisy, and I come off looking like a hot mess.
Amazing. All right, guys, it's been so great to hear just all the happiness and excitement about everything. Thank you so much for taking time to do this.
Always. Again, always, anytime, guys. Anytime.
Always a
anytime,
pleasure. Yes. Looking forward to the set. And yeah, hope we can catch you again soon.
Take care. See you guys.
You're listening to Sapin Podcast.
Yes. Woo! That was 2000 Trees 2023. We had a good laugh. Thank you very much to Alex and Amy from Witch Fever, Colin and Andy from 100 Reasons, Charlie from As Everything Unfolds, Stevie B of Lost Alone, and old Tucky of Bullet from Valentine. It was fantastic to see all those people. And can I just say, the best thing about the Matt Tuck interview is we had a chat, and then after it, of course, if you hang around with Welsh people too much, you become very Welsh again. And as soon as we finished, we walked off, and Matt Tuck said, oh, boys, do you see my dog? And I was like, yeah, man. Let me have a look at it. Thinking, well, that's probably a pit bull or something, isn't it? And it came around the corner, and it was about 2 inches tall. It was the fluffiest thing. It looked like a cotton bud with a wet black nose, right? It was so fluffy. I said, Jesus Christ, look at the fluff on that. And Matt Tuck said the words to me, that's about 40% fluff. Which means it had another 60% of fluffiness to go. I don't think that dog could have got fluffier, but he did invite us to his house to go and record another one of these soon. So we'll find out if he washes his dog the night before.
Yeah, well, we'll take him up on that offer completely. And during Bullet set, I was absolutely blown away because we've made jokes on this podcast and we've asked the question quite a few times, both Matt and Liam from Counterbat, about that Axe Wound album they did back in 2012 and if there would be anything about them doing a show together or anything again. And because it was such a special set of Bullet headlining in the festival, they only got Liam onto the stage and played an Axe Wound song. So I don't want to say we planted the seeds for that a year ago, but we definitely planted the seeds for that a year ago. What a
100%.
Moment.
Thank you. Thank you to us. Thank you to us for making the festival even better, to be honest. And also a massive, massive thank you to everybody who came to watch the live podcast at 2000 Trees on the Saturday morning. I appreciate it was early. But we had a great, great time. We were concerned nobody was going to come and watch us. And luckily it rained, so our tent was pretty full. And we had a great, great time. And the crowd was awesome and very responsive. And you will hear that soon. So thank you very much to everyone that attended. Thank you very much to Mark and me, Mark Woodyatt of Mark and Me podcast, who went on before us, who said some lovely things about us as well. Please check out his podcast. It was real good.
Yes, if you subscribe to this podcast, wherever you listen, you might see something on Friday, which you can listen back to what actually went down live in that tent, which was absolutely incredible. We also got to DJ the festival, which was a lot of fun, until you realized that I ended on High School Musical and were not happy with that whatsoever.
Oh, God, no. I'd never heard that song before in my life. I hope to never hear it again. I can't believe you played it. And I was livid, absolutely livid that we played that nonsense. And I did say, as soon as you started playing the song, this song is not Sean Smith approved. So there you go.
Had a good reaction, though. People had a good laugh. People were singing it to you, and you were just there going, what the fuck
Did four people keep stay on our channel while everybody else turned the fuck over? Because I think it's that option. It was the four people in front of us.
I had fun with it anyway. So that's
well, he had his fun, and that's all that matters. So there you go.
Get more behind the scenes nonsense at patreon.com/Sapnin, at Sapnin Pod on Twitter and Instagram. And remember, the tickets for the Blackouts UK tour in February on sale this Friday.
Yes. Remember when someone said when we first started this that I started this podcast just because I started Raiders and I was doing it to try and make Raiders big, and now everybody's forgotten about Raiders and the Blackout eventually came back? And so, yeah, it would have made all of that pointless. Nah, here we are. Anyway, thank you very much to our special Patreon community, all of them. They're all fucking legends, but I've got to shout out the top tiers. Thank you very much, Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Liwoway, Janelle Castan, Paul Hirschfield, Kelly Irwin, Scarlett Charlton, Tony Michael, Dilly Grimwood, Nathan Croshaw, Mitch Perry, Natasha Morris, Emma Barber, Kat Besant, Molly Malloy and James Bowerbank. Ooh, we've got a doubler again. Thank you very much, Jenny Robson, Murray Grimwood, Scott Successful, Burger Delivery Jones, Amy Dawson, Amy Louise, Stuart McNaught, Ellen Southfield, Stephen Aston, Caroline Robertson, Kate Puttack, Martina McManus, Louis Cook, Carl Pendlebury, Danny Eaton, James McNaught, Jenny Munster, John and Emma, Jason Aredia, M. Evans Roberts, Craig Harris, Evan, Sean Fines, Emily Perry, Adam King of the Goth, Parslow, Kalila Keane, Ollie Amesbury, Josh, why did the Scarecrow win an award? Right, I'm going to read it as he's written it. Josh, why did the Scarecrow win an award? Because he was outstanding in his field, Chris. Why did he win and award? Who did he award? Anyway, thank you very much. Alice Wood, Vicky, Joe Janaway, Connor Lewins, and last but no means least, Kyle David Smith. Unbelievable. Got some new people there. Thank you very much for joining. Means the world to us. We love you very, very much. Please never die.
Yes, absolutely mean the world to us. We couldn't do this without them. Patreon.com/Sapnin to get involved and get your names there, especially if you've got a funny one. We'll be back on Friday with the recording from our live podcast at 2000 Trees Festival, and back every Friday. So click subscribe, have a good laugh, stay safe until then, and always remember to apply sun cream.
Yes, do that. Check out the Blackout tickets that go on sale Wednesday if you've got an O2 phone. If you haven't, like most people who are saying, they go on sale Friday, 10 a.m. Please, please buy them. Please buy them. Please buy them. Please buy them. Sapnin.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.